This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. For anybody curious as to what the F was happening, that's a fair question. I'm going to argue, this is the best I could come up with, that Mike Bacsik had low blood sugar from a lack of pizza. But now there is a pizza that did get sent here along with Crumble for his last day in studio.
Kyle, thank you. Brady, thank you.
Very nice. And what kind of pizza did you get?
It looks like a chicken sausage banana pepper pizza from Domino's.
Okay. Nice, nice,
I'd like to say thank you to those two again, and I guess no thank you to everybody else.
Oh my gosh. Maybe they're working on it.
I'm just kidding. Pizza costs a lot of money these days.
That is true. All right. Can you go ahead, Alec, and please give me cut number 5 because I want to talk about Marcus Semien.
Yeah.
3-1 is cranked down the left field line. This one's got a shot. It's gone. Marcus Semien with a line drive home run. Just over the wall and just inside the left field foul pole. His 14th dinger this year. We're tied at 1.
So our question here is going to be, is Marcus Semien the X factor to really make this Rangers lineup go? So a few things. First of all, I already saw somebody text in that they think Marcus Semien should be hitting more like fifth as opposed to first. I hear you, but we think a logical, predictive lineup for the Rangers, at least against right-handed pitching, I know it can change after that to start, would be, and Mike, tell me if you think this is off base, Semien, Seager, Langford.
I'm 100% sure as long as those three are healthy, that will be your opening day first three hitters. This is where I won't say 100% anymore.
But Garcia, Peterson, Young, Berger, Carter, Heim.
I think that will be a likelihood against a right-handed starting pitcher. On opening day, Garrett Crochet will probably pitch for Boston, so I don't know exactly how hitters 4 through 9 will be trying to protect Jock Peterson and Evan Carter from a great left-handed starting pitcher.
And so Marcus Semien had a tough year last year. He had a tough year in terms of pretty much most statistical metrics, including on-base percentage. And that's obviously the primary thing you're hoping for and looking for from your leadoff hitter. So it makes sense to say, hey, we can talk about Seager, and I kind of want to talk more about Langford tomorrow or the new additions with Peterson and Berger. But if Marcus Semien plays at the same level that he did last year, or has the same production as last year, that feels like it's going to be hard to overcome for the offense.
Yeah, and for me, this is a serious key to the first 6 weeks of the season. Semien's going to be your leadoff hitter on opening day. I believe Seager and Langford will follow as long as those three are healthy. But I think the Rangers have other options as a leadoff hitter. And I get you stick with Semien to start the year. But if he hits 237 with a 308 on base percentage and a 699 OPS, and we're to May 10th, OK, Okay, you're starting on March 27th. I'll give it till May 10th. But if those are his numbers, not saying he can't improve on those numbers as the season goes, but now you're going, wait a second, you played 159 games last year, and you're putting up the similar numbers. Yeah. I know I'm giving exact same, but you're putting up similar numbers to last year. I can't have you be my leadoff hitter anymore. And I have to make an adjustment. And I do think Lankford in today's game is a perfect leadoff hitter. Think of Ronald Acuna Jr., Mookie Betts. There's so many other guys. You know, you think of leadoff hitters now. Lankford has a possibility of being a 30-30 guy.
Okay.
And he has the ability, I think, to bat in the high 200s, at least, let's say, 260 to 280.
Yeah.
Which is
pretty good now.
You look at Marcus Semien the year before when you won it all. He had 276. He had
Wait, wait, wait. Sorry. Let me hold that thought for just one second because I want to talk about Wyatt Lankford and then go back to Semien. Would you simply just swap their places in the lineup?
No.
Okay. Then where would Semien go?
If he's hitting 230-ish with under a 700 OPS, I got to move him to fifth or sixth.
Okay.
I can't have my three-hole hitter doing that.
For sure.
So this is where Marcus Semien, if he does not perform well to begin the season and not three series, it's just not fair to be like, oh, they've played 10 games. Let's make a major adjustment in the lineup. Let's play 30 games before we start making a possible major adjustment because here's the issue. I can't just switch him. I don't want, if Marcus Semien's doing that, and I love Marcus Semien, I don't think he is. But if he does, if he's a 230 hitter with an under 700 OPS, I can't have him as one of my first three hitters.
Yeah.
No way. We're talking about the offense yesterday and how it could be a top five offense rated seventh.
Well,
if my leadoff hitter is batting 230 with a 700 OPS, I do not have a top offense in Major League Baseball. I think it would be impossible to have a top offense in baseball.
So here's a potentially good number then. So Marcus Semien ranks 62nd in the top 100 players. But one of the notes is he traditionally, and I realize as you get older, this becomes more difficult, but he's traditionally bounced back from tougher seasons. Like you look at his OPS plus in 2020, it was only 89. The next year, 131 with Toronto. When he started his Rangers career, he had an OPS plus, and that just kind of compares you to like average players. It's a different, but another kind of like war type comparison. In 2022, he followed up with an OPS plus of 126. And so the last two times this has happened, he's kind of had difficulty in the even years. So he bounced back in 21, bounced back in 23. Will he bounce back in 25? Now, I know the biggest counter argument you could easily make is that was 2 and 4 years ago. Like, and time marches on for us all. And so it could be more difficult for him.
Yeah. And I expect him to have a good year. Don't get me wrong here, but I'm going now with the if. If we get to May 10th, May 15th, and we have a leadoff hitter getting on base about 31% of the time, I'm changing it. I can't do it anymore. Now, the thing is, I can't have my number three-hole hitter having an OPS of 700. That doesn't make sense if I have Lankford and Seager doing damage, and then my next guy can't do damage.
Yep.
So I have to move him to five or six. This is where the whole thing changes. So this is where this is such a big X factor for the Rangers this year, because if Semien doesn't do his job as the leadoff hitter, I think I have a great replacement in Wyatt Lankford, but I move him from 3 to 1. Now, what do I do? Well, who's hot? Who's hitting well?
Yeah.
Let's just say Josh Young's having a good year and he's staying healthy. I move him to 3. And now at 4, do I go Jacques Peterson? Do I stick with Adolis Garcia? Do I move, like if Adolis and Jacques are doing decent or average, do I move Semien past those guys to kind of give him a more of a back of the lineup, clean up whatever these guys doing damage are? Because if I have a dude batting 237 with a 700 OPS, I can't have him as one of my first four hitters in my lineup.
How long does the switch hold? Like, let's say you do move Semien down the lineup. Are we talking week by week, perhaps, changes? Because I know you don't want to change your batting lineup all of the time, assuming that there's not somebody out or whatever. So you think it would be like, hey, let's give this a week, see what happens, and then
Because now here's the tough part. You know, sometimes you're like, well, I want to be the leadoff hitter. And then they put you batting fifth, and then you bat 400 with a 12 OPS for that week. They're like, we're not bringing you back up to the leadoff spot. This seems to be the perfect spot for you, you know? So that's always the tough part is if you get demoted in the lineup and then you start hitting well, then there's the conversation, Is he hitting well because we've taken some pressure off of him? Right. I don't think that would be the Semien case. That's the Evan Carter case. Of like, let's just say Evan Carter gets off to a really good start. He can be a leadoff hitter too. Here's my issue. Let's just say, man, I want Lankford not leading off. I don't know why you wouldn't. I think that he's the prime candidate. But let's just say Evan Carter for the May 10th, he's batting 323 against right-handers with a 900 OPS. Now, against lefties, we're trying to protect him. He's not playing that much. So now I go, all right, man, against right-handed pitching, I'm going to lead Evan Carter off. I don't mind that at all. The dude can fly around the bases. And he has a high batting average, and he's hitting a lot of doubles and stuff like that. My issue is now I can't have Evan Carter and Seager batting back-to-back because in the sixth inning or the eighth inning, they bring in a stud lefty because those guys are coming up. I've just pretty much killed my inning.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I'm in big trouble. My odds of scoring here are way low. So now if I move Evan Carter to lead off, I don't think I can bat Seager second. Now I'm probably like, all right, let me put Lankford in between them. I'll bat Seager third. So I have a righty in between. But now, what do I do from there if I'm going Carter, Lankford, Seager? You know, so I think this is where Marcus Semien is such a big piece, because if I have to start fiddle farting around with my leadoff spot based off of matchups, based off of different situations,
you may well,
it changes the lineup tremendously. It's not just Lankford 1, Semien 3. It's not just Carter 1, Semien 8. Like, that doesn't make much sense. I have to start making sense of, yeah, I'm facing a starting pitcher for approximately 5 innings in today's game, but I have 4 innings that I'm facing their bullpen. That's why batting Carter and Seager second and third in the playoffs against Houston, no problem. They don't have a left-hander to bring in. I think it was Houston. It might have been I thought Houston didn't have I can't remember what team, if it was Baltimore or Houston. They didn't have a left-handed reliever. I never have to worry about them bringing in a left-handed reliever in this game. I can bat them back-to-back, but most teams will have one or two lefty relievers that you're concerned about later in the game, so I have to separate Carter. I have to separate Jock Peterson. I have to... Seager's solid against lefties, but I've given you that his numbers do go down quite a bit. It's just that he's still a solid hitter, just not one of the best hitters in the game, so... That's where Bruce Bochy could have an issue, is if Semien struggles that first month, now he has to start thinking about the leadoff spot, and then that changes, besides, let's say, Seager batting second, that changes my 3 through 9 hitters and how I line them up.
And somebody asked, so I was like, you know what, I'm going to double check that, because I remember that the first year, but I don't think this is entirely accurate. Isn't Semien from the 3-2-5 known for starting slow to begin with? We might have to give him more time. That's not necessarily the case. Now, when he first got here, so in 2022, remember, we were all talking about that, like, oh my God, what the hell's happening? But in 2023 and last season, his first months were not bad whatsoever. In fact, I would probably call both of them at least solid. So I don't think he's always a slow start.
We assume this team is going to be led by offense first, starting pitching second.
I probably do assume that.
If the offense is struggling,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Through 30 games and your leadoff hitter is struggling to get on base, I can't wait till June 1st.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't. So I have to look at it and go, I got to change this up. Now, this is where I love Bruce Bochy, because I don't think he's just set in his ways and he's like, this is just what it's going to be. If you go look at his San Francisco team, he messed around with their lineup. It wasn't this guy bats first every time, this guy bats second, this guy bats third. I'd go back and look, but I would say the only person that probably was stable in his lineup every day was Buster Posey.
Yeah.
And he would move different guys around for different situations. So being a National League manager back when they had the pitcher hit really helps out Bochy having to mess with lineups where, let's just take, for example, an American League manager, Joe Torre. I know he managed other teams, but Joe Torre with the Yankees. Hell, he just pretty much put out these guys and never changed it. I do remember He had to change A-Rod at one point. He was struggling so much in the playoffs. There's a big conversation of dropping him in the lineup.
Right.
I do think that the Rangers, Marcus Semien, to start this year is a key. Because if he's going well and other guys are struggling, you're not going to have to change up the lineup a lot. Let's just say Adolis Garcia gets off to a rough start. I can drop him from 4 to 6 and just move Young from 6 to 4. That's just two guys changing into the spots. But if Semien struggles, I got to change way more than just Lankford to 1 and Semien to 3. I got to start making way more adjustments in my lineup because I'm assuming at that point I got to move Semien to batting 5th or 6th in my lineup for a little bit of time. And the thing is I do think Lankford or Carter are the future leadoff hitter for a long time.
Yeah.
I just don't know when that change will be made. Hopefully this is a great year and you don't have to worry about it, but if you have to worry about it, then the Rangers are going to have to make somewhat, I'll call it, massive lineup changes.
From the 305, I'm from Fort Worth, but I'm listening from Key West, Florida. I have a place here and in Fort Worth. Ooh, fancy. When I'm in Florida, I love the Odyssey app. I'm going to miss Mike. Where are you going? We've talked about this a couple times, but for people who don't know, where are you going?
So I will be calling approximately 100 games for the Texas Rangers this year on television, the Rangers Sports Network, through all kinds of different situations. Obviously, people I think know the most is Victory Plus, but it'll be on a lot of other ways to get it. So that is where I am going to be working now full time. So today's my last day here in Dallas. Thank you for the pizza so far, Kyle from Allen / Salt Lake City. I mean, it's not a pizza party with just one pizza. You know what
I'm
saying?
We got to thank
so far the pizza so far. But I will be leaving next week. We go to Surprise, Arizona, yep, Monday through Friday, and then that's it. That will be my last time on the station on 105.3 The Fan.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll get to Mike Likes It, but also some NFL overreaction or reality next right here on The Fan.
3, 2, 1. It's over. The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59. They have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. It's their second Super Bowl win in 7 years. What a game. What a season. What a team.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We've moved into the expressway where, don't forget, we've got a college baseball ticket giveaway at Globe Life Field coming up in this segment. Also, we'll do some Mike Likes It. Also, some NFL overreaction or reality. Do have a quick salary cap update for you. We had predicted, I think maybe 2 weeks ago, that the salary cap was probably going to bump up to somewhere around $273 to $275 million. But Dan Graziano says it's going to take an even bigger jump, and that the NFL informed teams today that it's going to fall in the $277.5 to $281.5 million area. And so we had kind of been around $274. It sounds like it's going to be around $279 and change, but definitely a good thing, plus $5 million for all the teams out there. And then way up from last season's $255.
Sounds like a spending spree.
Yeah, you'd love to hope that that would happen, but feels unlikely, at least from the Dallas Cowboys. All right, NFL overreaction or reality, and I played that clip for a very specific reason. Gentlemen, NFL overreaction or reality, you are sad once the Super Bowl and NFL season is over.
I'd say that's a reality. Like, I'm just a football fiend, even if it's the teams that I don't care about, even if it is teams that I hate, watching them go out in a blaze of glory. I was still kind of bittersweet, like, dang, this is the last football we're going to see for a while, because, you know, nobody cares about the spring football leagues, really. So, the combine has lost all kinds of interest for me personally, because it is just,
but not for our
Olympics
listeners, because remember, Sean and RJ will be there next week.
Yeah, I love like the actual like the interviews. I love the press cocktails. Conferences. I don't like watching the product anymore. So that doesn't count as football to me. Like, I love all the information we get from it, but like the presentation that they put on outside of the 40-yard dash, I'm not watching. So yeah, I am sad that the season's over.
Mike,
not at all,
because that means it's baseball time.
Every we need seasons. Do not want 100% of baseball 100% of the time. I don't want 100% of football 100% of the time, and neither do you people either. That's why you love the sport so much, because there's so few games.
Yeah,
and it isn't a season of time, right? It takes on the fall and the winter season, and it's great. And you need to want it. If you always had it, you wouldn't want it.
Sure. No, I agree with you. So I think I am also sad, but to your point, if they were like, but now we got 2 more months of, I'd be like, oh, but I thought we finished it. So I definitely get your point.
Yeah, right, I'm not. There. Football's great. Love it. I get excited about it
helps.
In August.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for the playoffs about mid-December.
Yeah.
And then when it ends, I'm not like, I'm glad it's over, but I'm like, football season's over. Now we can talk about, you know, other things at times, and we can talk about the off-season moves by other teams.
NFL overreaction or reality, having a...
Get my jab.
I did.
Thanks.
Having a third different defensive coordinator in 3 seasons makes things exceedingly difficult, even for a stud like Micah.
No, not for Micah, but for the defensive team.
Okay.
For the defensive unit. I think that Micah, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a few things he's like, wait, we're not doing this. We're going back to that. Yeah. So I get there'll be that. He's so awesome. Whatever you think of him personality wise, whatever you think of his podcast, that's separate from he's one of the best defensive players in the NFL. He'll be just fine and be, I think, awesome again next year. But for the team to now go through a whole nother shift after going through a 1 year shift to now go through another 1 year shift, I think that will hurt the Dallas Cowboys.
Alec?
I think it does. I think this is a reality. It does affect everybody. And I do think like the on the field performance by Micah will be fine, but that's got to be frustrating at the very least if you are a superstar like him. Like, hey, you know, one of the most popular franchises in all of sports, you would think that there would be some resemblance of continuity within these buildings and within these walls in Frisco, but not really. And the philosophy changes even from Dan Quinn over to Mike Zimmer were pretty different. So,
yeah,
you know, that's got to be difficult, at least mentally, just saying, okay, another training camp of having to learn new stuff. I think Micah will perform just fine, but I don't think you're going to have many happy players just in general. They're like, yay, let's learn another defense.
Bonus question.
Oh my God.
About Micah and Zach Wolchuk. So this is a two-part question.
Huh?
First question, overreaction or reality, Micah will not be top three in NFL Defensive Player of the Year next year because he's not top three in the betting odds. Bonus question, Zach Wolchuk came in here because he heard there were crumble cookies and pizza as opposed to wanting to help the show.
Well, that's accurate. As soon as Mike put the ask for, hey, can we get food, 100%. It was like, all right, well, I'm going to come in early today.
We have some Papa John's Domino's. So,
well, yeah. I didn't even see the Domino's box over there. Look at that. You got dueling fast food pizza chains. That's amazing.
Now, I mean, Brady from Alvarado sent in the crumbles quick. Cookies. Well,
Brady's the man. Brady's incredible. And crumble, I will say, delicious cookie. Agreed. I don't know that I love the weekly menu deal that they do.
Oh, you want a more static kind
of? I feel like with TIFFs, you know what you're getting.
So if you're ranking, there might be another major delivery cookie company that I'm forgetting.
Insomnia, maybe?
I don't think I've ever had Insomnia.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like you guys need to get me Insomnia in the next hour and 20 minutes. Let's go, Tolos. This is it. You're never going to hear from me again.
I mean, you'll be on the show next week.
But then after that.
But not in studio.
Yeah, not in studio. You can't deliver anything to Surprise Arizona. We're in the whole stadium with security. There's no security here.
The security is pretty lax at that stadium, if we're being honest.
We could get a pizza in there, couldn't we?
It's two guys at a desk.
Yeah. That's more security than here.
We got one person at a desk.
Yeah.
That is a good point. There's 100% as much
security. We had two down there today when I just walked in. We had one outside, one inside.
So TIFF's treats is better than Crumble on your ranking.
Yeah, I'd probably go TIFF's over Crumble. I love Crumble. Yeah. I think Crumble does some of their cookies are really outstanding. Others, I'm like, ooh.
When the sugar with the chocolate frosting combination that they have hits. Oh my gosh.
That's the go-to.
That's my favorite.
Any of the type of Oreo, like cookies and cream deals they do, I think are delicious. But with your Micah Parsons question, I think he will be top three in voting.
Okay.
Especially if the contract is not done yet. Because then he's playing for a lot of money.
And then, so the reason why I brought this up, and you could see why, the Defensive Player of the Year betting odds.
President of the Rangers.
Yes. Good job.
Thanks.
Miles Garrett. Aiden Hutchinson and TJ Watt. And then Micah Parsons is fourth just ahead of Will Anderson. So I don't feel like that's like disrespectful or anything like that because obviously those other three are damn good players. Plus Miles Garrett will be his teammate. So
I love that. Let's go. Really, let's make it happen.
Did you see the salary cap number?
Will it into existence for Miles?
No, for the NFL. So
it's booming.
Yeah, we have projected 273 to 275. Word is from Dan Graziano. Between 277.5 and 281.5.
OSA's back, baby.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That might be the thing, though. It's probably earmarked to retain some of our other guys. Like, we got to bring back OSA. We got to.
Okay. If they're actually.
Bring back Martin if he wants to keep playing.
If they're actually going to do those things, I actually think that's a really good thing.
It is good because otherwise, I don't know that you'd have him, but I still don't know. You've got to do more than that. You can't just stay status quo.
I'm with
you. Right? We've got to go ahead and spend, like, I'd love, and we've talked about it on our show, linebacker might be one of the weaker positions in the upcoming draft class. They need to add a starting linebacker with Overshown probably missing the majority next year.
Does it bother you that every single person is like, Eric Kendricks was here for 1 year and then he's gone? When you're like,
I wouldn't mind.
Does that have to be the case?
No, I'd love to bring Eric Kendricks back. I mean, having him on every Thursday last year during the season, it seemed like he loved his time in Dallas. Zimmer was a huge reason why he was here. So I wonder if the fact that you don't have Zim.
Yeah.
But it's not like Zim went anywhere else. It's not like he can go follow him like some Cowboy stars did or defensive players did to go get Dan Quinn right. in Washington. So I don't know. I'd love to bring Kendricks back, but I'd love to throw that money on Frisco Lone Star Zone, Nick Bolton, bring him back home.
That core is really high on him.
Big, that'd
well.
Be awesome.
All right. NFL over reaction or reality, Alec. I'm going to throw it to you first. Joe Burrow's pressure campaign will work on the Bengals, and they'll bring back Chase, Higgins, and Trey Hendrickson.
Ooh. I'm going to say overreaction because that's still a broke-ass ownership group. And I'm just so tired that in 2025, we have ownership groups that pinch pennies in the way that they do, especially when they have such great young talent on their teams. I mean, you think about up until they sold the team, what, about a year ago or so, the Baltimore Orioles and MLB? It was like you get all these great players because you have premium draft picks because you don't pay people, and then you let them leave. You have to trade them. It feels like the same with the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they will probably keep their offensive weapons and get them worked out. Outside of that, I think they're going to be like, kind of like Jerry and Steven do here, like, oh, well, we paid these guys, so I think we're good. I think we did enough this offseason, right? So I'm going to say overreaction. They probably get half the job done.
What say you guys? Is it going to be Cincinnati or Cheapinati? I can't remember who said that.
Cheapinati? I'm going to go with reality here, at least for a year.
Okay.
Because I wonder if they get a long-term deal done with Higgins or he just plays on the tag and then he leaves.
Yep.
I do think Hendrickson, they get a deal done, and Chase will 100% get a deal done. Yeah. So my confidence meter would be Chase, Hendrickson, Higgins in the order of operations there. But I think at least for the upcoming season, all three will be on the roster.
You really want that franchise tag at least on T. Higgins, right? Because otherwise, it feels like Washington is
Washington
pretty much at the top of the class to go get him.
And New England. New England's reportedly willing to spend at least $30 million on him per year.
Wow. Yeah. I guess they do have all of them.
They got a lot of money. And they're excited about their young quarterback there in Drake May.
All right. Next, overreaction or reality. Overreaction or reality. This year's free agency class will kill the running back resurgence. All right, look, I know we're all excited about Derrick Henry and Saquon and how amazing they were. Here are Fox Sports' top five free agent running backs. Nick Chubb, Rico Dowdle, J.K. Dobbins, Aaron Jones, and Najee Harris. Look, if Najee Harris is number one on your list, I feel like that is going to kill the running back resurgence.
It won't, because the draft class will end up making up for it. So, like,
I should say veteran running back resurgence. Pardon me, yes.
Then I would agree with you, because I don't think you're going to have nearly the impact last year when you've got Barkley and Henry, and even a J.K. Dobbins, who was included in last year's class, Aaron Jones, what he was able to do going over to Minnesota. I mean, the list goes on, but you don't have any of those guys that I think are going to make as much of an impact as last year's free agent running back class had.
I think I'm going to say,
oh no.
I think I'm going to say that this is,
Sorry, Alec. That was, oh no, it was not directed at you. That was directed at the faux ghost of Tom Landry.
Oh, no.
Because he got this big smile on his face, and I was like, oh God.
What'd you think of Tom Landry joining our show for my last show in Dallas?
You know what? I've always wanted to meet Tom, and I'm glad that I get to look at him right now. This is amazing. I'm so pumped. I thought it was great radio. It was very entertaining to listen to. Honestly, Jeff has nailed this. When it comes to listening to Mike on the radio is a joy, but I can understand some of the frustrations when it comes to working with Mike. Sometimes it's hard because it's like, squirrel, where are we going? But gosh, listening to you today, you've been on fire, sir.
Thanks. Running backs, they're important in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Bring them back. Let's go. Let's
go back to Alec.
I think I nailed it.
See, Alec, and that's why I was concerned about what he was about to say.
Can we get Tom Landry back on the show?
I mean, no. You said it yourself. He's sitting right in front of you.
Zach, it's me, Tom Landry, in the hole in the roof again. Running backs are very important. I had a running back named Thunder Dan Reeves back in the day. He could pass a ball, too. And then there was Tony D. I told him to run out of bounds a lot to save his body. That worked out pretty well. I got Herschel to come here. And look what Jimmy Johnson did with Herschel. Jerry had nothing to do with it.
Does Tom Landry care about that?
Yes, he fired me. Back to you, Zach. Running backs are good.
So stupid.
I'm here with Walter Payton right now.
Hell yeah, Tom.
Hey, it's me, Sweetness. Running backs are the best.
Where did that come from?
Hey, it's me, Sweetness. Little Sweet. It's the sweet one.
That's exactly what I thought.
Don't encourage him.
I think that's what you have to do, Kevin. You can't fight it. I think we just got to lean into it and embrace it at this point.
Okay. Well, I disagree. All right. So go ahead. And if you can, I know we got Mike Likes It coming up in just a second. Give me cut number two because I want to ask you guys if you think this will be worth it.
Now it's Larkin with a burst of speed. He scores. Dylan Larkin in transition gives the United States the lead for the first time tonight.
So we get the United States against Canada tomorrow in the finals of the Four Nations. We'll talk about that more tomorrow as well. From Front Office Sports, the get-in price is about $1,000 per ticket. And if you want to sit closer, $3,000 per ticket. That is close to the equivalent of Game 7 of last year's Stanley Cup Finals. It's a little below, but not far off.
That's incredible.
That is incredible.
That is amazing for what is, look, it's a championship of the Four Nations, but like reality, it's an exhibition. It's a glorified exhibition. I'm very nervous for the United States in tomorrow night's match. We're actually going to have Greg Wyshynski of ESPN NHL joining us at 3:20, so he'll help preview this. But I think the U.S. is banged up, and I do think Canada is going to be on a mission. I don't agree with Biz, where like Canada is going to come out and it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah,
but
I don't either.
I am worried that the U.S. won't be able to defend quite as well without McAvoy as they did in that. Because I mean, the hit that he set the tone early with the hit on McDavid, and I think after that, the United States, the pressure was on. The forecheck was fantastic. I don't know if they'll be able to get quite into their game like they did on Saturday night, but I'm hopeful, man. I'd love the U.S. to go ahead and beat Canada in Boston. But if I had the money, I'd throw it at those prices. Like, this is going to be an incredible once-in-a-lifetime type of experience.
It's going to be an extravaganza.
No doubt.
We'll talk more about the celebrities that may or may not be there tomorrow as well. All right, I'm not saying you'd have to spend the money, but Alec, Mike, excitement level for Four Nations Final tomorrow?
Solid.
Okay.
I'm Hockey Mike today.
That's true.
I forgot who got me this hoodie. I'm sorry, Tolo, but I decided on my last day ever here to wear my Hockey Mike hoodie for the Four Corners showdown tomorrow.
That's probably surprisingly close. By the way, Mike, if this helps lock in your focus,
there are no
more
corners in hockey.
From the nines.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, I made up corners, but there's actually no corners in hockey. There's only rounded edges.
Edging.
Stop it.
I think that's
no accurate. That, no, it's not.
Oh, he thinks there's corners.
From the 903.
Bax.
It's going to be about 45 minutes, but tell Mike to get ready for the greatest pizza he's ever
what?
Eaten.
What? I'm excited.
All right.
Who? What's their name?
I don't think they left their
just
name.
Just give out their phone number.
I am not going to
does
give
start
out
with an 8 or a 2 or
their
a 9.
Phone number. It starts with a 9.
7-2.
Nope.
All right.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
Well, maybe one of you got it correct.
What's the right way? Oh, 03.
I'm not giving out that person's phone number. Why would I do that?
For fun. It's down to 7 numbers.
Fun for who?
Me. I'll call them. Then they'll have my number.
You know what? I'll give you their number off air. Just as long as you promise not to repeat it. All right. Mike Likes It coming up in about 10 seconds. But before we
that
get
means
to
I could peat it. He's saying don't repeat it. Did you get what he said? He actually messed up there. He said don't repeat it.
But you could peat it.
But I could peat it.
So that means just at first, yeah, you just I'd immediately peat.
Yeah, I'd say at first.
Even the contest you two Nimrods are going to interrupt?
Oh, we're giving something away?
And there. Oh, is it Dirks?
No.
Oh, who are we giving away?
Have you not
away?
Been listening to the show this week?
I'm 877.
881.
It's the college baseball thing, isn't it? 1053.
It is the college baseball thing.
Woo!
At Globe Life Field.
Yeah, we had on Kirk Sarlos earlier.
Can I finish the read?
I'm giving you information.
Caller number 10, 877-881-1053. You win a 4-pack of tickets to the entire final weekend of games at Globe Life Field starting next Friday, the 28th through Sunday, March the 2nd. Caller number 10 doing this all week long, 877-881-1053.
Now!
What? As if this entire show hasn't been this.
Oh.
It's time for Mike Likes It.
It says Christina Massey said, I won yesterday. Hell I don't know yeah. if that's true on YouTube, but that's what she's saying.
Why would you lie about that?
Congrats, man.
Good job, Christina.
And then there's a dude with a cuss word name on here. Mm-hmm. Little MF and Mason. I'll just shorten it.
Oh, MF.
And they said we never read the YouTube chat. Mm. That is true, but I do.
It's easier when everybody is here.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot, Corey.
That's not.
What's the update? Is Corey back tomorrow?
He'll be back here on February. He'll be back here on March 3rd when I am officially not here anymore.
Okay.
I think
he said I've had enough.
So he's not coming to spring training anymore.
I think he will. Yeah, I think he will still. Okay, fair enough. I think he will still be at spring training. I think it is very unlikely he will be here tomorrow. Very unlikely.
Very.
Wow. It's going to be Kevin Hagelin for 4 hours.
I'll slide in with Kevy.
Here's what we've never done while I've been on radio.
I'm sorry I said that. I shouldn't have said that.
It's Mike Leiter.
It's Hagee. Don't call him Kevin.
I was thinking
about
this.
Hold on, Mike. I'm going to pause you now just so you can get a feeling for how this goes.
Yeah.
Somebody.
See how I just let you talk now?
Yes. Has sent in the same consistent negative text message about you.
Oh, thanks.
For 59 consecutive minutes. Would you like me to read that to you?
Yeah.
Or tell them to stop it?
No, I don't see it, but you can read it to me.
Okay. From the.
Just think their life's going to get so much better on March 3rd.
From the 817. I love you, Mike, but I'm not going to miss you. Saying absolutely nothing intelligent about any sport other than baseball. Please be better. And provide some actual valuable information and not the sarcastic, condescending attitude. Good luck on your future endeavors, Mike. You can do it.
Thanks.
59 straight minutes they have sent this text message in.
Thanks. That means a lot.
It's kind of positive.
They've sent it at least like 18 times. So
yeah.
I wanted to check with you.
You can do it, Mike.
I will miss you, Mike.
I was wondering this. We've never not talked on the radio station. So what if for Mike likes it?
Please don't.
We just didn't make another sound.
No.
No?
No.
I mean, it could work.
But we have to stay.
I know.
I know
stay
you're
here.
Leaving, but we have to deal with the consequences of that.
We just play the quiet game.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that works for radio. I don't think the quiet game works.
I mean, it used to for...
I just won.
What's
you two just lost.
In New See? York, who'd fall asleep.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, Alec just won.
Was that Francesa?
Yeah, Mike Francesa.
Yeah.
All right. So for the person that says I got nothing, what would you like for me to talk about?
I'll let you know if they text back in.
Okay. For anybody, it says everybody wants me to now read everything they're saying on YouTube because little mofo, I read out his thing. So they're like, hey, I'm a little mofo too, you know? And I'm like, I get you. But, you know, like I don't want to read all of that while I'm doing this. So, Kevin, how's your day gone so far?
It's been a day.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Is it?
Yesterday was Tuesday. Today is Wednesday.
It's true.
See, when they say I add nothing to the show, I'm giving you factually what days it was and what day it is, okay? So.
And you've had delicious food delivered.
I have.
It's
Thank
true.
You so much
With
for the
apparently more to come.
Yeah,
the best pizza
I can't wait
you've
for
ever
this.
Had.
The best pizza ever. The problem with my brain is I forget a lot.
Did you forget what you were
I
about
literally
to say?
Was going to say something, and then we just got taken offline by...
Here, I'll read you a nice comment.
Okay.
From the 972. Man, this has some spiciness to it, but not directed at Mike.
I remember.
I love that Mike is like most fans and not the nerds who follow stats and think they're smarter than the people who actually play the game. Boom.
So yesterday, remember how I was complaining about it was only 11:45?
Yes.
And I thought I was like, God, are we not to Mike likes it yet?
I
like,
do remember
when is
that.
The show going to end?
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
Is,
you said that, did you say that on air? Was
yeah,
that
I think so.
Air?
I think so. Well, yesterday I got home and my wife, I guess, had a long day too. And she asked me and I was like, that was yesterday. And then she's like, no, it was this morning. And I was like, this has been the longest day ever.
Has it?
Yesterday was.
No, I get it.
Do you feel like today's your longest day ever?
I kind of feel like Jack Bauer at the beginning of 24. And he's like, today is going to be the longest day of my life.
Let's try to not bring up something too negative because I just have a feeling like maybe like some of your longest days might have been days that, you know, you and your wife might have found out really bad news.
Yes.
I understand those.
What
has been work-wise? How about that? Taking out those situations, because unfortunately, you know, I've been here with you when you had to unfortunately leave for those horrible situations.
Yeah.
is what has maybe been your longest day ever at work? You're like, this day is not going to end. And it doesn't even have to be here because our boss is probably listening.
Oh, well, I was going to say, and he knows this.
Probably.
It was the day after the bike thing.
Oh, yes. Dude, I forgot all about that.
Because I didn't think anything of it. And then somebody completely misrepresented what we said and then posted it on this forum. And the next thing I know, it was on like the International Cycling Reddit. And so like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's how I found out is because people sent me, they're like, hey, I just want to let you guys know in case you're wondering why this isn't going away. And they would send me the link to that. And I was like, what the hell? And so people started Photoshopping like different promo stuff that we've done. And again,
oh, wow.
That like the day after, the day after, the day after that, I still have them saved. I got at least 15 death threats for me and or my child. And I was like, what the hell's wrong with you? And part of me still wants to like find that person, like, you know, John Doe or whatever, and circle back around and find their Facebook page and be like, hey, remember when you posted that you wanted my little boy to get killed?
Gosh.
Like, I'm not going to do that, but it was definitely that.
Taking it too far, man.
And it wasn't even true.
No.
What's been your longest day?
Oof. I was probably some
Look
of
at
those.
This. Gavin Dawson.
Dawson brought the tiffs. Oh, it's not.
Oh, it's
not
from
him.
Somebody else. Even though I'll tell you what, Gavin Dawson had the greatest day. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're
what
good.
I do.
You're good.
I only had to do it for six more days. Gavin Dawson had the greatest birthday ever at Dick's Sporting Goods. I believe we were in Irving, I believe, like Las Colinas. This was when.
You go ahead and jump on it.
Come on over here. I want to hear
when,
about Dick's.
This is when Gavin still drank, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe you got like 31 cases of beer.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
31?
It was incredible.
Like
I needed
either six
cart.
Packs or like 18 yeah. packs. We were at a Dick's yeah. Sporting Goods, which is closed down now. But it was, and we had food for a yeah. week.
Oh, we did. We had food for a week. We had a beer for about 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Were you able to get all that stuff home then? Or?
Yeah, I took a couple of grocery carts out to the truck at that time.
Okay.
And, you know, unloaded it all. But that was an event probably in the G-Bag Nation for 2 or 3 years where people would just bring us an insane amount of gifts for our birthday. It was fun.
Wow.
That's badass. We
that
need to get back
badass.
To that.
Yep.
Do you remember when we worked at Harley Davidson and you got yeah. mad at me and I got mad at you, so I just pretty much just walked around Harley Davidson the rest of the show and didn't
talk. I think
talk.
That was our first show together, and I don't think I was mad at you. I think I still to this day did not know you were mad at me. I was like, well, we just had a yeah. sports disagreement and now you're super mad?
Yeah. I can't remember what I was mad about.
Yeah. Were you thinking about leaving at that point? Were you like, man,
Chris and Jeff were yeah. on the show?
I think that was our first ever show.
I don't think it was our first ever show, but it might have been like our road show.
Okay.
Like our first ever road show. But I remember, yeah, I was really mad that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
One time you told me to leave the show. Remember that? I think in here.
Yes. Yes. I did.
Yeah.
But what was that
for? I don't think you did.
Yeah. I just got really quiet the rest of the show. And I'm like, well, I'm just
okay. The maddest I remember you being is when Chris compared Tony Romo to Dirk. That just offended yeah. you so much.
And that is like, offensive.
Yeah.
And that was pre-Dirk championship or post?
Post.
Post, because I didn't come here till 13, like full-time.
That's
September
right.
of 13. So, yeah, I don't.
That
I
is
don't,
offensive.
I don't like that. But
you got some crumble, too?
Crumble, yeah. yeah. Now, we have a little bit. We haven't opened up. This one has like a cream filling in here. This is the tres leches.
Wow.
So, if you like two milks, it has a third
wow.
milk
tres
for
leches.
You.
Leches.
Yeah.
More the merrier.
What's ever been your longest day at work?
Oh, man, I think they're all tied.
Yeah. just pick which five-hour show.
Zach, sorry,
no,
I interrupted.
No, you're good. It must have been like these guys do it now with the Monday night football, you know? Mm. And back then we were doing midday, so it was 12 to 3, then go to the stadium, and then work until like 1 a.m., I think, yeah. is when the postgame show ends.
Yep.
So that would have been, yeah, like a, I don't know, 15, 16-hour day, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a quick turnaround.
Are those yours too?
Yeah. Mine was probably working like Rangers doubleheaders, but back like old stadium when I was filling in for Jared, and it was like, we're not shortening the games. Like, these are still full 3-hour games. Those were long, grueling days. And it was like 110 degrees outside in August.
Golly. Oh, I was going to say one day at Blockbuster, I worked 24 hours straight because I did inventory so I could get a couple days off for the holiday. They put me on the register for those last 8 hours. Thought that was probably a poor decision. I just like was going through the motions, and if people asked me questions, I was like, yeah. And I don't even know if that was an appropriate response to their question.
Well, yesterday wasn't my longest day ever, but man, was it a long day.
Today feel longer or shorter? You.
Today's longer. Fine. Longer for him. I mean, I think it's pretty cool. We've had Tom Landry visit us twice today from heaven.
Yes, that was pretty epic.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a new bit I'm doing.
I like it.
Yeah. He could come to Phoenix, Arizona.
I'd love to see him
there. I love him there.
Yeah. I guess he's everywhere.
He's always with us.
True. Why are you looking at me like I know what happens in the next spiritual plane?
Yeah. I thought you knew everything.
I think you suggested a good gift for Hagee, too, if you're thinking about a parting gift, the fedora.
Yeah.
You know?
I do think I should get a nice gift from you.
You could rock a fedora.
Out the door.
All right.
Oh, crap. Never mind. I would like to withdraw that statement.
He might just re-gift you that jacket. That Mavs jacket.
Mike, could Tolo get that for you?
Yeah,
get that hoodie for you?
Yeah, hockey. I figured on my last day here, I'd wear a Hockey Mike hoodie. So,
wow, that looks good.
Yeah. It's a sad day for a lot of people.
I'm sad, Mike. I've told you that.
I mean, but not for some people. Obviously, some people are getting really excited and want this day to come a lot faster. Not this day, but next week.
I've never heard anyone say that before.
To the guy that said you don't say anything intelligent about sports other than baseball, Mike is fascinating and interesting, and I think a lot of times people that get into this business think, I got to be right all the time. No, you don't. You got to be interesting all the time.
Right.
And Mike almost always is, unless he's checked out for an entire hour of time.
Which is interesting at times, just not to the person leading the
right. Yeah. Right.
That's where otherwise, I agree with that. I've worked with you. It's miserable in those moments, but when I'm listening and you do it, it's pretty darn funny.
Yep.
But I'm not even trying to be funny. That's how funny I am.
I know.
So funny.
Look, people think you're hilarious. I concede that all day long.
Yeah.
Although I also argue nobody thinks you're funnier than you do.
I know. I wish there were more people like me that listen to me.
That also just thought you were as funny.
Yeah. There's times where I say things and I'm not even listening to myself.
I absolutely believe that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're going to do some AM on the FM, God help us.
We got a question of the day, plus a great how to piss off your coworker at work store. There you go. It's coming up next on The Fan.
You said a bad word.